Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry if you grew up playing with Barbies or putting their buxom likenesses atop your Christmas trees. If you're talking about angels, it's more like playing with G.I. Joes than Barbies. And yet, the popular depiction of angels as runway model ladies with flowing fairy godmother dresses, wispy hair, and delicate feminine features endure. Or worse, depictions of angels as plump, prepubescent, androgynous offspring of the Stay-Puffed Marshmallow Man and Mother Goose, with their dumb-looking mini wings and tin-wire halos, dominate the imaginations and the corner curios of well-meaning but ill-informed Christians. But angels are not like that. Not according to St. John's vision of the apocalypse, or Jesus' catechesis on the nature and the work of the angels, or Daniel's description of the battle angels fight, or any single letter of Holy Writ. Sorry if your precious moments collection just bottomed out in eternal value, but those are not angels. Angels, despite the modern adjective angelic, are not. They are fierce, scrappy, cosmic warriors. And that's good, because that's exactly what you need. An anemic angelic army is the product of a culture that has been deluded into believing that the devil does not exist, as one of your prophets has spoken, or that if he does exist, he is laughably powerless and not worth any of your real concern or fervent prayer. But then, the Catechism teaches you to pray twice a day, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." And St. Peter warns you, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Hopefully, those you twice a day implore the one who is commander-in-chief of the angelic armies, Yahweh Tsebaoth, to dispatch, are not like those in curio cabinets or atop Christmas trees. Daniel sees Saint Michael delivering God's people from the Persian army. Jesus promises that the holy angels stand before the Heavenly Father's face to be dispatched at an instant's notice and to aid the littlest ones in the kingdom of God. And Saint John beholds a cosmic conflagration that makes the fieriest Hollywood apocalyptic trope seem like a tepid children's bedtime story. War arose in heaven one bleak-looking Friday morning. The forces of unimaginable evil, under the command of the general Lucifer, seeming to gain ground against the otherwise powerful forces of pure good, the angels under the command of Saint Michael, their chief, as below each lash of the legionnaire's whip and each blow from the temple thugs and the jackbooted Roman soldiers seemed to push the incarnate God, the son of the cosmic commander-in-chief, closer to the brink of death, edging him inch by inch toward what seemed to be the failure of his ambitious plan to save all mankind with a single sacrificial death. And then, the line of the helmeted messengers of good seemed to break, to yield to the onslaught from the unrelenting demons and their forked-tongued accuser, as the Son of God, with a cry, gave up his spirit and laid down his otherwise unrelenting life. The unwitting soldiers below, pierced the dam of his holy side, unleashing a flood of blood and water that was barely visible to the onlooking mortal crowds at the cross, but was like a crimson standard raised from the midst of faltering angels to strike demonic terror in the eyes and the hearts of the would-be usurpers to the throne of heaven. And by the crimson cascade that streamed from the side of the crucified God, signaling his death, the angels of Saint Michael reversed the course of the war, guaranteeing their triumph and his. With the river of innocent blood pouring from the fountainhead of life, and the unflinching voices of the eternal elect rising to confess this slain lamb to be the Lion of Judah, they destroyed the devilish strongholds, routing the evil foes and driving them at the point of just one spear all the way out of heaven, forever banishing them from being in the presence of the triune God. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, for he knows that his time is short. Now, the demons prowl in a wounded, sullen, last-ditch effort to snatch the Lord's elect away from the eternal safety of his church, using every deceitful device and all terrible trickery to lure them, like their first parents, away from the source of their life into the pallid glow of the distant fires of eternal death. They hate you. They want to destroy you. And they fight by no gentlemanly code of war. And still, their commander has, as you prayed, ordained and constituted their service and yours in a wonderful order. He grants that, as his holy angels always serve and worship him in heaven, so by his appointment they help and defend you here on earth. Yes, is the Lord's answer to the collect, as the thundering wings of the angels who surround you testifies, if only your ears were tuned in to this ethereal frequency. On the one hand, do not ignore the seriousness of the threat of the demons who detest you. The demons are powerful, and they hate you a million times more than they even give a passing thought to those who make no such confession of the crucified to be the Christ and the Creator to be triune. Every time you skip your prayers or punch the Sunday morning snooze or let your eyes linger too long on one to whom you are not married or whisper a slanderous thought about your neighbor under your breath, you do their will in the battle against the Lord's church for whom he fights. On the other hand, do not despair. Do not think the demons have even a fighting chance against the angels under Saint Michael's command, who fight with weapons forged in the furnace of the love of the Father, the blood of Jesus, and the confession of the saints. At the very name of Jesus, the demons flee. You do not see the fight as it rages on, but know that it is there. And those who are with us are more than those who are with the enemy. The water of the baptismal font, which looks to your eyes placid and serene, is to the demons an unstoppable torrent, destroying the powers of hell and rescuing sinners from the world's grip. The word of absolution, which sounds to your ears merely like earthly syllables spoken by one man to another, is to the demons, the thunderous voice of Jesus from heaven, sending them scurrying for safety which they cannot find. The bread and wine of the Holy Communion seem to your eyes like mere elements of this world, but the demons know better. They are the fruit of the new creation, the body and blood by which they were once for all defeated. So know that these angels do the Lord's holy will to fight for you. Know this, and then join your voice to their fierce war song. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who fight for you ceaselessly, tirelessly, fiercely, and with all the company of heaven who cheer for you and encourage you by their faith and their works, evermore join our voices to theirs and our bodies to their presence around the holy altar, where the Lamb, who conquered by his blood, joins heaven to earth, the eternal to the right now, and slakes your thirst for courage with the very blood by which the angels sent and still send the demons fleeing hopelessly for their lives. Holy, holy, holy is the commander, the Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory, not of the demons. Hosanna. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, for you his own. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.